A real joy and an honor to be with you this morning and to be part of your gathering. I have to admit, this is my very first time of preaching in a COVID atmosphere. But so far, so good. And I want to say, those of you that are wearing masks right now, you have beautiful eyes. So isn't that great? We can just enjoy the season that we're in. And I want to just thank the warm welcome of Ron and Judy and some of you that I know here as well today, Pastor Tony. It's a privilege to be with you. And I want to encourage you as a church today too, and in this season that you are in, this even transition time that you are in, that God will just continue to bless you and your faithfulness. It's great. I also want to just honor Pastor Peter and Sandy. As Judy has already mentioned, they have been dear friends of my wife and I for many years. Peter was one of the first guys that I actually met when I moved here 22 years ago. And for the longest time, you know, I was trying to catch a salmon, and it just never happened until one day Peter, he called me up and he said, "Dave, I want to take you fishing." And so we went out on his boat. I think the name of the boat was On Visitation. It was his way of kind of escaping his office. "Oh, I'm out on visitation," you know, like. Anyway, wouldn't you know it, we got into a couple of salmon, and I think I did catch the biggest one. And I actually found this old picture this morning, and there's a picture of it right there. That was my very first salmon that I ever caught on Vancouver Island, period. And I tell everybody it took two of us to actually hold it. So it was that big. But anyway, there you go. That's the. No, it was a big spring salmon. Yeah, caught up in Browns Bay. So just a great memory. And my wife actually had that picture done up and gave it to me for Christmas one year. So there you go. The title of my talk today, and it's going to involve a little bit of my story and journey, I've entitled it "The Land Between." And I pray that this word will be an encouragement and a help. It's been one that I have been processing in my own life and journey. And the scripture that I'd like to just draw your attention to, if you want to turn to it, or it'll be on the screen as well, is Psalm chapter 94, verses 17 through 19. And I want to just begin by reading this passage where it says, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death." Very descriptive words he's using here. "When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." So as we begin today, I want to say that, and I think you can appreciate this, that life is filled with many in-between seasons and experiences. And if we could probably come up with all kinds of examples of those in-between periods. I was thinking about, you know, hockey started again. How many are glad for hockey? You know, I don't know, a couple of you maybe. But, you know, there's always the intermission between periods. And it's time where you go out and get a hot dog or whatever. Or now it's you go up to the fridge and you get a piece of cake or something. I don't know. Anyway, those in-between periods. In between the intermission of a hockey game. Or maybe it's the what happens between seed planting and harvest. I don't know how many of you enjoy planting gardens, but there's always that period in between when the seed goes in the ground and, you know, you run out every day to check to see if anything's growing, right? And we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and then we begin to see the plant growing, and eventually we have a harvest. Or maybe it's that period of between conception, when a baby is conceived, and there's that period of time between conception and birth. It's in a lot of ways, it's the land between. And as I've thought about this, I thought it's in those in-between seasons that so often make life so rich and meaningful. At least it can be. And I was thinking, can you imagine this morning with me a peanut butter and jam sandwich without the peanut butter and jam? Right? The in-between. Or, I don't know if you've ever made s'mores, but you got the two graham crackers, right? And could you imagine the graham crackers without the beautifully brown, golden roasted marshmallow and the chocolate melting between the graham wafers? You know, it's the in-between that make life so good. But let's face it, sometimes those in-between seasons can be painful and they can be hard. And maybe some of you this morning are in one of those seasons. It may be the dark night before the dawn. We look forward to the sunrise, but sometimes the night seems long. And the interesting thing is, for all of us, we are all right now, we are all between something. Every one of us. We are between our past and our future. That makes sense? All of us. We are either going into something, in the midst of something, or we are coming out of something. The challenge is we can't always anticipate those seasons. We a lot of times these in-between seasons come upon us, and they catch us off guard. We're not prepared for them. I mean, who would have, as we came into 2020, only 7 months ago, January 1st, 2020, everyone was using, like, we're going to have 2020 vision, and we're going to see into the future, and God's given us a vision. Who would have thought of COVID, right? And how many of us were completely caught? How many, our governments, our healthcare systems were completely caught off guard by this phenomena, this unprecedented time that we are in? And yet this is where we are. We are in an in-between period, even culturally and health-wise. We're between normal and now what will the new normal look like down the road? We have no idea. But this is where we are. And so here we are today, August the 2nd. And when Pastor Peter asked if I would speak, I right away I began to think August the 2nd. Well, the month of August for me is a very significant month. As I reflect back upon a year ago at this very time period, the reality was it was a year ago that I was actually on the verge of entering into a totally unexpected in-between season. As I look back on my family and my wife and I, for the most part, life was going pretty good. We had just completed, as Judy mentioned, 20 years of pastoral ministry at Comox Pentecostal Church, and we were just kind of slipping into that time of semi-retirement, and we were enjoying time together, added margin, extra time to just go for longer walks and little trips and enjoying our grandkids and all that kind of thing. We felt we were in a very special place. We loved the Comox Valley, and this was our home, and we had dreams for the whole idea of getting old together and just enjoying this new season that we were in. And so it was last August that my wife was quite involved with our grandkids, and we had one of our kids had had a health, somewhat of a health crisis of their own, and so my wife was a registered nurse, and she was not helping them and so on. And then just to kind of help care for all of the kids, my wife and I chose to do two camping trips, one with our four grandsons, and then we did a second week with our granddaughters. And it was a very special time. Anyway, we were in that second week with our granddaughters, and just moving into the third week of August, when my wife began to experience some increasing nausea and fatigue, and we just thought she had maybe caught some kind of a bug, and we really were not too concerned. We were just camping out at Kitty Coleman, so 15 minutes from home. I said one night, why don't you just go home and get some rest and things are going to be okay. And so she did, and the next day she came back out to the campsite, and on the Sunday night, it was our final night at the campground, we had a family gathering and had a barbecue and roasted s'mores and had a campfire and all that. It was a great evening, although my wife was feeling a little bit unwell. Well, 2 days later, things got really worse, just suddenly turned. And I ended up taking her into the hospital, into the emergency department, and she was later went through an emergency CAT scan, only to find, and it was around midnight that night that they came to us and said that she had a massive tumor that was creating all kinds of blockage. And the reality is this thing had literally, who knows how long it was there, and it had basically gone completely undetected. There were no symptoms. There were no warnings. Absolutely nothing. And so we went from this joyful family gathering at the campsite to 2 days later, she was faced with this diagnosis of a tumor that was at that point considered inoperable. There was nothing that could be done. It was so far advanced. And so as you can imagine, it just literally rocked our world, my kids' world, my family, my four sons and their spouses, and we were literally shaken to the core. And for days we cried, and we were broken. This picture was taken 4 days after her diagnosis. My one son was a photographer, and he quickly gathered the family together. And so you can see, you know, like she was completely looked great. And we gathered everyone together. And 7 weeks later, she was with Jesus. And so it was a very fast, rapid decline. And so as I even then contemplated that land between, as I looked out into the future, it just seemed so unbearable. I would say again and again, I said, I can't imagine life without her. We were married 43 years. We started dating in high school. I was in grade 11, and so we were high school sweethearts. And so she's basically all I knew. And all of a sudden, she was gone. And even to this day, months later, even yesterday, I find myself saying things like, I can't believe she's gone. And so I share a little bit of this because I also recognize that many of you have gone through similar experiences. And I don't know most of you here today, your stories, but some of you have lost a spouse. Some of you have lost a child, perhaps. Or some of you can relate to those in-between periods of between jobs, or maybe there's elements of your health that has been lost, things that you can't do now that you maybe once could do. And so you know what I'm talking about. It's just, you just change the circumstances. But the question that I want to throw out this morning is, or even for me, as I think back to some of the things that I've been learning through this, and I've tried to journal, I've tried to write down my thoughts throughout this year, and I've really tried to consider the things that God is showing me and teaching me and helping me to deal with this. Even speaking today there's a healing element for me to be able to share a little bit of what God has done in my life in this journey. And so I guess I want to just for a moment, a few moments, is just share with you things that we can do in the land between. And just going back to that scripture of Psalm 94, you know, David, he begins with that, unless the Lord had given me help. I resonate with that word. I mean, I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for the Lord's help. David, he writes, I would have soon dwelt in the silence of death. David was experiencing a very intense time. He was surrounded by enemies. It was a very overwhelming, unbearable experience. And yet he was very much aware of God's constant presence in his life. I think that's why we relate so well to the Psalms, because it resonates with our world. And so some things that I've learned along the way, and I know many of you have as well, first of all, is that we can trust in God's unfailing love. How many would agree with that this morning? In this passage, David wrote, he said, when I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love supported me. We can all relate to those times when we feel like we are just slipping, we can't hold on any longer, we're going down, and yet we have that undergirding of God's love and his presence. One of the things that I have learned through this whole time, even going through the pandemic, especially in the early days, the aloneness was magnified, because it bothered me. I thought my wife and I would have had so much, this would have been a great time. We would have had all this extra time together with no distraction, just her and I. And you know, I thought that would have, the pandemic, the shutdown when we were all having to stay at home and we couldn't see anybody, that would have been, in my books, would have been great, just the two of us together. That would have been a great time. But she wasn't there. And so that aloneness was magnified. And some of you perhaps are alone, and that's probably how you felt as well. But we see here that we can trust in God's unfailing love. His love supports us. His love is deep. His love carries us. His love surrounds us. His love comforts us. Interesting that we live in this world of and sometimes we don't feel supported. Sometimes we feel that our support systems let us down. It might be the government or the healthcare system, or maybe your hopes and dreams have failed you, have let you down. But it's good to know that in these dark periods, these times of the land between, that we can have the support and the trust, that we can trust in God's unfailing, unconditional love. A love that never gives up, right? A love that never runs out. A love that never turns us away. A love that's always there. And so that's the first thing that I've learned, I've been reminded of again and again, that we can trust in his love. The second thing I've been mindful of in many ways is that we can surrender all of our fears to God. There's nothing that we can't give to Him. David uses these words. He says, when anxiety was great within me. Again, descriptive words. And we can all relate to those times when our fears and our anxieties just are overwhelming. They have a way of just like almost choking us. But to know that we can surrender them all to Him. The land between can be extremely frightening. The land between can be a time in our life where we are entering into the unknown, the uncertain. We can't see very, right now, we can't see very far, even in this pandemic time. We can't see very far ahead. And there are fears and there are anxiety. Parents with their children, going back to school, all these things. There's anxiety that people have. But I love also what David wrote in Psalm 34:8. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all of my fears. There's nothing that we can't surrender to Him. There's no fear, no anxiety, no worry. Jesus said we can cast all of our cares upon Him. And I want to just encourage you as a congregation here in the Comox Valley in Cumberland, that I really believe with all of my heart, and you know, so many of you have, you're mature, you've lived your life, you've got many years behind you, you've gone through all kinds of experiences, and I really believe that the people of God, we have one of the greatest opportunities right now to be a people of hope to our communities. And yeah, we need to be in compliance with a lot of the requirements that are placed upon us. But we must be carriers of hope. Because people are wrestling and struggling with all kinds of fears and anxieties. And we can be the people of hope. And so even in my journey, you know, while I still, my heart aches every day, I'm continually trying to bring hope to people. Because that was kind of the story of my wife, and I'll share something else here in just a moment. But we need to be people of hope. We need to be people who actually help to lift the burden of those around us. And if there was ever a time for the church to shine and for God's people to rise up and to be people of hope, there's no better time than today. And God has placed us in this season, in this time. And while we do long for heaven, our world needs us today. And so I want to encourage you this morning to, as you surrender your fears to God, we can help others do the same thing. And so we can trust in God's unfailing love. We can surrender our fears to God, all of them. And thirdly, from this scripture, Psalm 94, we can experience unspeakable joy. He says in verse 19, he says, and your consolation, another word for that is comfort. Your comfort brought me joy. So David is very much aware, unless you help me, I don't know where I would be, he said. He said, my anxiety was great within me. But your consolation, your comfort has brought me joy. 1 Peter 1 says, and I am filled with inexpressible joy or unspeakable joy. And basically, it's what he's saying here is that he can't even put into words the joy that God gives to us. There, you know, there's no words that can describe His joy. And so it is a joy that we do need to speak about as best we possibly can, because it's different than what the world gives. It's different than what life has to offer, other than what God can bring to us. One of the things that I've had the privilege of over these last number of months is to read my wife's journal. And I meant to bring one of her journals with me today, but she had the habit of sitting in her chair most mornings and writing, expressing her thoughts before God and so on. And I never once read any of them, ever, until after she passed away. And I thought, well, I guess I can now, right? And I thought, she's not going to know, right? So anyway, I felt like I was kind of going into somewhat of a private area of her life. And one of the things I discovered was the depth that was there. And right up until the last month, she was writing in her journal, even before she knew that she was unwell. And in the last few weeks, she was interesting. There was a bit of a theme going on. She was writing about joy. And one of the things that she wrote about, she talked about how there was a battle going on in her life for her joy. And she expressed her thoughts on this in her conversations with God. And then one of the last things that she wrote about, and I want to share this with you this morning in closing, she referenced a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, and she wrote it in her journal. And it's the passage that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." And then she went on to express some of her thoughts about this. She wrote these words, "I was made in God's image with the ability to choose joy in the moments of my life. Whatever season. When my mind wants to go down a gloomy, unpleasant path, I can stop it with rejoicing." Maybe some of you this morning are finding yourself, like our mind likes to go in all these dark, sometimes gloomy directions. And she said, "I can stop it with rejoicing." And then she goes on to write, "It's important for me not only to be joyful, but to think about specific reasons for rejoicing. This will light up my heart and my mind, enabling me to find pleasure in my life." And then I love what she wrote here. She said, "And my relationship with God is the greatest reason for my joy." Isn't that beautiful? My relationship with God is my greatest reason for my joy. Knowing that God's love for me, knowing that God loves me, is joy. So amazing. And then she concluded this journal day, "How many times a day can I remind myself to rejoice? Thank you, Lord, for your joy." And I wanted to share that with you this morning because this in many ways was who she was. And this was the essence, even in those final 7 weeks from the time she found out her sickness and when the Lord took her home. She often would say to me, "Dave, we need to be thankful to God for what he's given to us. What did happen and not what didn't happen." Because so often we can live with that sense of loss rather than focusing on the goodness of God and the lives, how my life was touched and how she touched so many others. And I wanted to share this with you today because this joy was what actually inspired her and motivated her and allowed her to live a full life, even though she was taken, in my books, kind of prematurely. But her life was full because Jesus said, "You will know my joy and your joy will be full." And so this morning, as we contemplate the land between, as you consider your land between, wherever you are at, some of you perhaps are struggling in different areas. There's that times where we feel overwhelmed in a hard place. And maybe your support systems have failed you. I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you, I want to encourage you to choose joy, to choose Jesus, to choose the opportunity to have a relationship with God, and maybe to even renew that relationship with God. I know for me personally, I found that in so many ways, my life has gone deeper into Christ, into my walk with God over these last few months. And I'm thankful for that. And I still have a long ways to go. And so, wherever you are at right now, let me encourage you. You can trust Him. In fact, just maybe everyone just take your hand for a moment and just put your hand like this. I'm not going to ask you to speak out, but just in your mind, just say it. I can trust you, Lord. I can trust in your unfailing love. I can surrender every fear, every anxiety that is great within me. I can surrender that to you. And I can experience the fullness of joy that only can come through having a personal relationship with you. Thank you today that I can choose joy. And we ask your blessing upon us as we go forward today, as we go into our world, our week, that we can be carriers of hope, that we can be carriers of this life-giving relationship of Jesus Christ to a broken, fearful world. And we want to thank you now and give you praise. I pray your blessing upon this beautiful congregation here in Cumberland. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.